ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The cream of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Another Thursday night, another edition of Top Rope Nation, episode 335 of the flagship. Ryan Droste, Jesse Velasquez, Justin Joint. It's MLB opening day. The Chicago Cubs are currently tied with the World Series champion Texas Rangers in the bottom of the eighth inning. I got my eye on that. I got my eye on a glass of bourbon here that I want to talk about here in just a second. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. As I said, I think last week, one of the best times of the year, March Madness, Road to WrestleMania, AEW is feeling hot. And as you just said, you know, MLB opening day, Yankees win number one, 162-0, bitches. It's happening. Yankees win.
Jesse, how you doing, man?
Justin Sterling. I missed the memo on the baseball gear here. What's going on? Wardrobe change, folks.
Twins got to win.
If we get a super chat, I'll go change into a Minnesota Twins shirt.
Nice.
How's that sound? I have a couple in the closet. Yeah, they are 1-0. They beat the Bobby Witt Jr.-led Kansas City Royals today. Coffee Stadium.
Very nice. Guys, what's in the glass tonight? Jesse, you said that you had something special planned. What do you have?
So it's not canned, unfortunately. I went to Fair State in Northeast. It's a little bit of a smaller brewery on Lowry and Central. And I have a buddy there that works. He does liquor tastings, or he just goes to liquor stores, supplies tastings. He had a Pilsner named after him. So I had, a 6 ounce and a 4 ounce Doug Pilsner tonight.
Nice.
Nice, easy drinking. I'm going to go a little heavier on this one. This is courtesy of Happy's Liquor Store, the Big Grove Brewery, Color TV.
That's a good one.
I've never had it.
That's a good one.
In for a treat.
That used to be one you'd have to go to the brewery to get, and they'd only release it once in a while. You'd never find it in the liquor store, so you better enjoy that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far, so good.
You know, Fair State, we actually get their beer down here once in a while. I've seen it at Happy's before. Occasionally. I'll keep an eye out for Doug, see if we get that one.
I hope so. My gosh. It's just amazing that a pretty good friend of yours has a beer named after them. I mean, I'll ask you guys this question real impromptu. We'll try to make it quick. If you were to have a beer named after you, like a Ryan or a Justin, what style of beer would it be?
Ooh, well, mine would be an IPA and you'd have to call it Frosty Drosty.
I like it.
Well, some of my friends consider me a grandpa, so I suppose mine would have to be some like grapefruit flavored beer, you know, something that old people would like.
Hey, it works. It works. I like it. Justin, what do you have tonight?
I have from a local single speed March Madness. So their Tiny Dancer Pale Ale.
Very nice.
Which the can design is like the feeling of a basketball. The texture of it's pretty cool.
Yes.
Nice. Well, Jesse, I was in your neck of the woods like 2 weeks ago, and I picked up a little studio distilling bourbon, your buddy's place. You've talked about it on the pod so many times. I can finally take a drink of studio distilling. It's not bad. Not bad at all.
I was going to say, I need your thoughts on that. The bourbon, like I said, I like it. The rye, I love.
I'll probably get the rye next time I'm there. It's good. I think this would make a good old fashioned, not gonna lie.
By the way, you know, I'm drinking this March Madness themed beer, and you know, I've always claimed on this show that I am, unlike you guys, I am not a professional podcaster. So I'm gonna focus on you guys, but in the background I do have the Iowa State Illinois game on, so just to warn you.
All right, acceptable. Acceptable. Men's basketball? People watch men's basketball still? You know, this is the first year I haven't done a men's bracket in I don't know how many years. I barely watched any men's college basketball. I mean, Iowa State, I'm not a big Iowa State fan, but they're really good this year, obviously. But I mean, this is Iowa. It's Caitlin Clark country. I'm only watching women's basketball.
That's what I'm prepping myself for, man. I think the Iowa Hawkeyes ladies, I think it's going to be inevitable that they lose. I mean, they barely squeaked by that last game, even though that you wouldn't tell by the final score. But that was a good lot closer than it should have been.
West Virginia had a great defense. I mean, I think Colorado is going to be tough. Then you got the looming matchup with LSU coming. Tough. They obviously set this up hoping to get the LSU rematch, you know, for television and everything, but it's tough. I agree. Their inside game is not as good as last year, but I'll be watching.
Give me that Iowa UConn Final Four, please.
That would be nice. That would be fun. Guys, if you're joining us in the chat, let us know. Are you partaking in an adult beverage? Let us know what's in the glass with the boys tonight. And we're going to be talking WWE Raw. We're going to be talking AEW Dynamite. We're going to talk a little Dynasty and the card that is evolving for that, since Justin and I will be in the building in St. Louis in just over 3 weeks from now. And I got to say, not to speak for Justin, but I think we are pleasantly surprised and very happy with the card that is developing for that show. More on that here in a little bit. If you want to support the pod before we get going here, let me put the names at the bottom of the screen. You're seeing all the names of our wonderful patrons. Thank you for your support. If you want to become a patron of the show, get all of our bonus content. The link is in the broadcast description. $5 a month gets you all kinds of bonus shows, usually between 6 and 8 bonus podcasts per month, several hours. Jesse just dropped a new show the other day of TRN Unplugged. We're recording TRN Classics next week on WrestleMania 18. And boys, we just had a new patron sign up. Shout out to Jacob DeLawrence, your guy, Jesse.
Whoa!
Yeah, he just joined the Patreon page. So Jacob, really appreciate that.
Dude, I truly appreciate that. It's funny because he posted something earlier today that he was listening to a Patreon episode of The Corner, and I go, oh shit, I need to go sign up for them and support them. And yeah. I was going to give him grief saying he hasn't signed up for ours, but he did.
He did. He's there. Thank you, Jacob. Really, thank you. Appreciate that. So all kinds of content dropping WrestleMania season. We're going to be really busy over the next couple of weeks and would love to have your support. The patrons are what makes this show really go and continue. And if you want to support us for free, just drop us that subscription on YouTube or your favorite podcasting platform. We would appreciate that as well. All right, let's get to it. Let's not waste any more time. WWE Raw. I saw all the things on my social media feed, all the comments, people saying the greatest episode of Monday Night Raw ever. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was a really good show. I mean, yeah, let's settle down a little bit, but it was memorable. You know, the stuff with The Rock and Cody was great. We had a really good singles match on that show too. We had that promo between Punk and McIntyre and Rollins. We want to talk about all of it. I don't even know where to start. Jesse, you talked a little bit about it on TRN Unplugged, and you said to kind of slow down, not the greatest episode of Monday Night Raw ever, but give me your general thoughts on what you saw Monday night.
Those who called it the greatest Monday Night Raw ever obviously were born after the year 2005.
Yes, I would think so. or at least not cognizant of what was happening around them until 2005.
I understand their enthusiasm because they haven't seen fantastic 3 hours of Monday Night Wrestling maybe ever in their lifetimes. So to see something fresh, new, exciting, I suppose, it's different. And no, I really enjoyed the episode. There were a lot of positive things. I gotta throw this out here right now because it's super minor. I have a dollar subscription to adfreeshows.com. Thank you so much for that VIP subscription. Truly appreciate it, SE Scoops. Eric Bischoff said that Ricochet versus JD McDonagh had a tremendous story, and he really enjoyed the high-flying aspect of the show. And he routinely shits on El Hijo del Vikingo versus Commander and Rey Fénix versus Nick Jackson, saying that that's just high-flying garbage and they don't have a story to it. You are such a hypocrite and a shill. Go get bent. Anyhow, No, I enjoyed Monday Night Raw immensely, and I think we're going to really hit the large topics here momentarily. I'll let you guys talk.
I also really enjoyed it. I mean, Allstate Arena, they always have good shows there. The crowd was great. I love the setup using the seats behind the entranceway. You know, the smaller entranceway, get as many people in there as possible. Justin, what'd you think?
I think the Punk, Drew, and Seth and the ending segment with Rock and Cody Rhodes is some of the best stuff we've seen on Raw in years upon years. Like I couldn't tell you what the last thing would have been that was that good on Raw, but it's been a long time. Now, admittedly, I didn't watch the show from start to finish. I don't have time for 3 hours of WWE on a Monday night. So did a lot of fast forwarding through the stuff I didn't care about, but absolutely love those two segments. And even, you know, even that opening one, that I just can't get over that Rock entrance. It is just so freaking epic. And he's got me with his final boss stuff. That is good shit, as we'd like to say.
It's great. I'm telling you, I've been saying on the pod for weeks, I am reveling in the nostalgia of the Rock. I love it. I will not apologize. One more time. I love it. It is the best entrance in the company. I mean, the lightning strikes, going back to the Hollywood music. It's phenomenal stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that was great. Him coming out, not saying a word, kind of setting up what was to come later on. And, man, I got on the thumbnail. Let's just start with that one. All right, because anyone who's clicking our video is waiting for this discussion. So I'll start with this. Has The Rock ushered in the Attitude? You know, it's not the Attitude era, but is the Attitude back in WWE? Justin, what do you make of that?
I mean, that's the number one question on my mind. Is this just The Rock throwing his, you know, boardroom weight around, being able to get away with his stuff with the cursing and the blood? You know, same goes for Punk. Is he throwing his weight around? He threw out a couple curse words. My gut tells me that that's the case, that it's just those guys throwing their weight around, and this is not, you know, something that is going to continue past WrestleMania when The Rock inevitably leaves until maybe the following WrestleMania. But I mean, we all got to be honest. What made that show? It was all of that non-PG stuff. That is what made it watchable. That is what made it good. So hopefully, you know, that change is coming. I doubt it, but it's weird because like coming into the show this past week, you know, all the chit chat was like, you know, they got to get Rock in line with this PG stuff. He's got to set an example as a board member for the rest of the roster. And holy shit, they went in the exact opposite direction.
Can you imagine? I don't care who it is. Can you imagine someone backstage coming up to Dwayne Johnson? Like, oh, you know, Dwayne, you can't drop the F-bomb out there. We can't have that. None of that language. You can't have any. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants. And yeah, I mean, I think it's him just doing what he wants. And then, you know, Punk also pushing the envelope and feel like, all right, then I could do whatever I want too. And it just kind of domino effect from there. And Jesse, you talked about this on Unplugged for patrons. And you guys can, again, sign up for the Patreon page to hear the great podcast from Jesse every week as usual. But you made the point of, you know, the Attitude era. We go back and we watch it now, and a lot of it has not aged well. We've said on the pod many times before. You know, it was like car crash TV, essentially, back then. It was like the whole show, it seemed like, sometimes. But here you're getting it like in spurts. So take it away. What was your point on that? Tell the listeners.
This is exactly what we need, is it sprinkled in. And I don't care if they do it from the 9 to 10 o'clock hour when most of the kids are in bed, or parentheses, in bed and sleeping. I think that's the time to kind of unveil this PG-13, maybe pushing the borders of 14 and 17. I think my point here was, just having gone through 1998 Raw all of last year, I would say 3/4 of it's very unwatchable. But you had your main event talent that were just so good at what they were doing. The Steve Austins, Mick Foley's, The Rock, Vince McMahon, Undertaker, Kane, even HBK. when he was there for that brief time period, DX, I mean, you had your main characters and they were the ones that were pulling the entire show. And you saw it. That's exactly the carbon copy we just saw here on Monday night was with Rock, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, even Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley to an extent. I think they did a pretty solid job of building it up as well. So I think if you can rely on your main stars, sprinkle in some of that stuff, it'll also showcase good wrestling like you did with Ricochet and JD McDonagh at the top. I think as well with the undercard story of Sami Zayn wrestling Bronson Reed and then Chad Gable getting involved and getting that program fired up with Gunther here in a couple of weeks for their Intercontinental Championship match. There has to be a tweak. This has to continue. I'm just, like you guys alluded to, though, I'm extremely concerned that eventually when Dwayne walks away, which is exactly what I said, it's just going to go back to status quo. And that can't be the case. You need to keep the extra 400,000 to 500,000 viewers that you've brought in for this program. And the only way to do it is to alter with the times and give the adults just a little bit more to work with. That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need blood, you know, on the level of Moxley. And what was that? The summer of 22 when he was bleeding basically every week. Single week.
Yeah.
But I mean, you look at that Cody and Rock segment and how much blood can add to something, you know, we don't need it every week, but if it's going to add significantly to the story you're telling or the match, or if it happens accidentally, a la Hell in the Cell at WrestleMania last year, where they stopped a freaking Hell in the Cell match to patch up the Demon Balor in a moment that some of my childhood wrestling fandom died watching that. That was pathetic, but let those moments happen. Let them play out. Because yeah, that Cody Rock thing, I mean, obviously the rain added so much to the atmosphere. I spent most of that segment trying to figure out if it was real. Cause like, this is too good of a coincidence for us to get blood and rain in this outdoors battle between these two. It was just incredible. That stuff was so good that it almost made me forget about that stupid Pharaoh art on the side of Cody's bus, which totally took me out of the moment when he was leaning up against that.
I can totally see you just getting out your cell phone and wait just a second. Chicago radar. Is it actually raining? What do they got going on here?
What was it like in Iowa that night? Because I mean, we had the snow rain mix for almost 2 days.
We had it earlier in the day, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. So
nothing was going on here.
There. Yeah.
I knew I was going to post something about it on our Facebook page, and I was hoping Zach Haydorn would come through for us and let us know if it was actually raining or not, which he did. He said he can confirm it was raining.
Patron of the show, Zach, Brass Ring Media, shout out. Yeah, he was in the building. He was in the building. Great points. Look at you guys now. Look at you now making those posts, making those great points, to quote The Rock. Look at you now. I mean, yeah, it was incredible. I don't need the blood every single week, but the way they did it, the way they went outside, the setting, it was great. And I mean, you know, we've talked about what is this going to lead to at WrestleMania. And I think I definitely said this, you guys probably agreed that I don't so much see this being that, you know, if The Rock turns, that he's going to be like teaming with Cody as he's going to be turning on Roman. That's kind of, and then that will help Cody win, like inadvertently. I don't see this as like, oh, we had this secret pact. I never saw it that way. And now with what happened on Raw, gee, I really don't see it that way. That wouldn't make much sense, but
that would ruin that segment in retrospect. I'd never really be able to go back and watch it again.
No. No, so I don't think it's going to be an alliance with Cody, but you know, I think he's going to end up coming to blows with the bloodline in the end and setting up something down the line, and this would still make logical sense then. And yeah, great stuff. I mean, The Rock's been hitting out of the park. He was a little shaky when he first came back, got a little repetitive on the mic, but the entrance, you know, keeping it a little shorter on the mic now, I think it's working. It's working well. It's obviously doing what they need it to do, and building up even more interest in the product. This is a hot product right now, no question about it. And you know, when you talk about how hot WWE is and the tickets that they're moving and going to the Allstate Arena and opening up seats all the way around the venue, like I talked about, I think some of that started with, you know, just right after the pandemic, everyone was excited to get back in venues and they wanted to buy tickets to go to live events because it had been so long. And I think that helped springboard their ticket sales right away. You know, and we saw that AEW too, right away. But they were able to sustain that momentum because it is a good product. Do I like, you know, I'm an older guy. Do I like the wrestling of my childhood more? I do. But I can watch this and I can see why people are into it. I mean, the slick production, Kevin Dunn's out, thank God. Slick production, you know, they've got a roster full of great talent. You want to talk about the Attitude Era, and you made this point, Jesse. In the Attitude Era, they had the stars, you know, they had some memorable segments, but a lot of time the undercard was trash. You go back and you watch some of those pay-per-views, and it is rough getting to the main event. But now, you know, if you infuse this product with a little bit of attitude, but then you also have the most talented roster they've ever had, it's a total package in a way that, you know, they never have before. You draw in some of those old fans with the attitude that they liked, you know, back in the 90s and the early 2000s. And then you add on top, like, some of the most athletic wrestling they've seen, especially if they're lapsed fans. They're like, okay, what is this? You know, you see that Ricochet McDonough match. That's how they're hooking people. It's a winning formula, and it's a legacy brand, so people are familiar with it. You know, they might walk up and buy a ticket if they can, if the place isn't sold out. But that helps them out too, no doubt about it. And we've seen on the flip side, AEW right now, they're putting on great television, but it's been kind of hard to move tickets for them in some areas, at least. And, you know, some of that, I think, is that WWE is so hot, you know, and that people, if you want to watch wrestling, the amount of people that are watching two wrestling companies is not high. You know, we do it. We're psychotic wrestling fans. But most people are not going to do that. And it's, you know, it's still not like it was in the 90s where people were channel flipping. They got to get it there to thrive. But I think this is just the problem for AEW is WWE is so hot. And, you know, we thought we'd talk about the ticket sales aspect. I guess we can hit on it right now. Just naturally flows with what we're talking about. But, you know, going to Dynasty, Justin, they sold like what? About 6,000 tickets for that show. I think we looked up right before we went on the air. Let me look. Chaffetz Arena in St. Louis. They're not running the, the Enterprise Center now? It used to be the Scott Trade Center downtown. That place is much bigger. That would seat over 15,000. They have this place set up for 6,200. They moved 5,300 seats. So I do think it is going to sell out by the time we get to the show. But it's a smaller venue. That was smart of them, I think, to book the smaller venue. We were talking about this today. I looked up the bigger venue in downtown where the Blues play. It's totally open that weekend. I'm sure it's much more expensive to rent, but, you know, that hasn't scared them away from booking big buildings before, like the United Center. But they got to be smart about this. You know, they got to book some of these smaller medium arenas to create an environment where it looks full on TV. You have that rabid audience and you don't have these cavernous buildings that are half full. You know, they're with Double or Nothing. They just announced that yesterday. I think it was, they're going to be in Vegas, but they're running the MGM again. They're not running T-Mobile. So they're running the smaller venue. I think that's the right call. No question about it. But certainly the AEW is a good product right now. You know, I think television is on par with WWE, if not better, based on what I'm looking for out of pro wrestling. But I can understand why WWE is hot. Justin, this was a topic that you wanted to talk about. So not to steal all your thunder, but give us your thoughts. Bring it.
Yeah, it was, I guess it was triggered by, you know, as you said, them not running the bigger arena in St. Louis, which is weird to me, especially when you look at what's on the card right now. You know, we're staring down inarguably a dream match between Danielson and Ospreay. I think there's a chance we could get Sasha Banks on that card perhaps, but I think we might be getting Okada in Pac maybe. We're possibly getting Swerve's, you know, anointment as world champion. What's the other match I'm totally forgetting here?
Tag team finals.
I thought there was one other one that they had announced, but now I can't remember what it was.
Julia Hart, Willow Nightingale. That's been announced, but I don't know from a large perspective what's on there.
That's everything.
But yeah, I mean, so I just, that just kind of bummed me out, you know, it being a new pay-per-view, rumors of MJF popping back up at this one. And then you see pictures from the Dynamite last night where it almost looked like at least a third of that arena was empty. And I'm not talking about the bad faith actors who take videos of the crowd, you know, an hour before the show starts and trying to claim that that's what the crowd looks like. Those guys are idiots. But yeah, it's just the product feels hot. And I'd been racking my brain as to what is going on here with AEW. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, with all the price gouging that's going on in our country right now, making things, you know, damn near unaffordable, even on a, you know, smaller level, our grocery bills have just keep fucking climbing and climbing, and we're not getting fucking raises to keep up with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, people just can't afford to go out. But then, like you said, people are going to WWE. Mm. So that makes that point completely irrelevant, you know? And so it's got to be just the fact that I think people are preferring to spend their money on the WWE product right now instead of AEW. That's the only thing I can come up with.
It's the brand they know. Yeah, it's the brand they know. It's the legacy brand. They're always going to get the leg up there from people who are kind of in the middle, you know?
That's number one, familiarity. Number two, bar none. I hate this. We hate this because we're longtime fans. Nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Sting sold out Greensboro, AEW Revolution, 17,000. The Rock comes back. Oh, what a coincidence. Look what's going on right now. You've seen more buzz about the WWE than you've seen in probably the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Nostalgia sells.
But hadn't, like, even before The Rock came back, you know, shows just with Cody headlining were selling out, you know? House shows, not even talking about just pay-per-views. That's what I just can't wrap my head around. You know, and you talk about, you know, the nostalgia that people have and how they're probably going to go with WWE before AEW. Well, what happened to all those people that were going to AEW shows, you know, in 21 and 22 that, you know, they've kind of abandoned the product?
Punk.
God, is he that important? Does he bring in that part
of it? It's part of it. I think he got some people interested. I think they saturate these markets too. We've talked about that. They got to run some new. I don't see why they're doing another loop through Canada. This makes no sense to me. No offense to our listeners in Canada. You can pick out a couple big cities and run. Yeah, like Toronto, they ran the smaller building. That was smart. This Quebec City, right? Where they were just at. It's not a hot wrestling market. Even WWE hasn't ran that market very much. That was a questionable booking. And we know, like, last summer when they ran Canada, they had some of their smallest crowds they'd ever had. And they book another big swing through Canada. Like, what are you thinking? I don't get that. And, you know, Adam's in the chat and he says, when they came to San Diego, I never saw any advertising. And that's been a constant thing I've heard too. I do know they've hired a couple people from WWE recently that worked in live events. So hopefully that will help them out with that strategy. But, like, they run the same damn markets. Like, they have these little loops around the country that they run continuously. And you know, I think that's also part of the problem. Now, with what we just saw the other night, or sorry, what we're seeing coming up in April with Dynasty, you know, St. Louis has not been a good market for them before. So we always knew it was going to be like kind of soft. I just looked this up. They do have a Raw coming up in Kansas City on the other side of the state. And it's like a week after Dynasty. And that's in a much bigger venue, T-Mobile Center, downtown Kansas City. They only have Raw set up for 8,000 fans in that building right now, and they sold 6,600. It's not that far ahead of Dynasty in a much bigger venue around the same time. They're about a month out. So, like, you know, maybe that's a softer market for wrestling, Missouri in general right now. I don't know. But, you know, that's not close to sold out, and they're just barely ahead of what Dynasty's at.
And it could just be, you know, it's taken a while for people to catch up if perhaps they left. After all, you know, the Punk chaos when he was gone for good, and the television, frankly, wasn't all that great week to week, you know, so that could be part of it too.
And then it's
seen.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say real quick, we've seen in wrestling history, I mean, live events lag, especially for the underdog company that's playing from behind like WWF was in 97. Live event attendance tends to lag the TV product, and so do ratings. You know, I think live event turns around first and then you'll see in the ratings. But like, it takes a little while to build up momentum because people just aren't watching it. You got to draw those people in. You're running good television, but it takes a while to get those people over to your side and then to buy tickets and then continuously, you know, watching television. So that's part of it too. You know, they're working uphill, no question about it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Pro wrestling's even more niche than it was, I feel, 2, 3, 4 decades ago as well. And one thing we can probably hang our hats on, because you just mentioned it, I'd mentioned 97 a lot on that show because I mentioned I didn't watch it all, but I've watched a lot of it back with Hart Foundation and HBK and just how riveting that television was. But it was the top stuff and the bottom stuff was just trash. I'll tell you what, I think if AEW can get Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland on the marquee and get them thrown in front of a mainstream audience, I think they can make this rise a lot quicker than people think. I think those are the two guys you hang your hats on. Because like you mentioned, Ryan, go ahead.
No, you go first.
I was going to say, you mentioned Will Ospreay, TikTok generation, holy cow, Swerve. I think he's got a little bit of that as well, plus the hip-hop culture.
International appeal too. This is huge. So you don't get American wrestling companies overseas that much. Obviously, when WWE does it, they kill it. But we have seen before with the WWE back in the 90s when they weren't selling many tickets. Where did they go? They ran tons of overseas shows. I just talked about this with Frank, Frank Pediani of Pro Wrestling Torch, friend of the show, patron. I did his show Pro Wrestling Then and Now the other night, and it was Tuesday night. We covered WrestleMania 10. 2.5 hours. Great discussion. You got to sign up for the Torch VIP to hear that, but well worth it. Had a blast with Frank. But I made the point on the show, and talking about Bret Hart, 94, that was the year where he was really the only year where he got a fair shake as being the main guy throughout the year. All his other title runs kind of was like a transitional guy. And what did they do? They ran overseas a ton that year because domestic business was not good. AEW could do that with Will Ospreay. Run international shows. Dude, they're going to draw with him. Run Europe. Run the UK more than just the one time with All In. You know, I think that's something that they should use to their advantage, is to build around an international guy and to make that money overseas right now, if that's what you got to do. We've seen it before. And WCW, that went out of business. You mentioned Eric Bischoff earlier. This guy. You want to get business advice from Eric Bischoff?
Strictly business. Bye.
I like John Alba, so I don't want to.
Me too.
I don't want to get on into that. But Eric, I mean, I've seen people pining for Eric Bischoff in different Facebook groups. And our friend Greg, there's a guy in his group that's like, oh, make Eric Bischoff the booker of AEW. Yeah, he's Bush League. That's what he is. This Eric Bischoff was so dumb. He had Bret Hart on his roster and wasn't running Canada. How long it took him to run Canada with Bret Hart on the roster? Over 2 years when they finally ran that Toronto show where he did the steel plate with Goldberg. That was March of 99. He came in December of 97. Okay, sorry, that's a little over a year. Still, that's real bad. Not 2 years, but my God. Don't listen to Eric Bischoff, but look at what WWE did in the past when domestic ticket sales were down. Run overseas. They should be doing this. Don't run the same damn markets here over and over. Try some new markets. Run overseas more. I know there's some added expense with that, but don't you think if they ran some TV over there, they'd do great numbers in attendance?
Jericho, by the way, was 3/4 the way out the door to the WWE at that time. But hey, he was still in WCW. I mean, Redacted was also there. Yep, that is correct. And the last thing I'll say, and Justin, go ahead. the WWE in 2023, a lot of their best PLEs were overseas. And that's a big reason why I think this product got hot, because here in the like the minor markets when they would run PLEs, it was just boring. And then you got those hot crowds coming from Puerto Rico, London. It came off great. And I think that they've been able to build that momentum since.
Real quick, I'll throw it to Justin. I want to say, if you're listening, some people might be saying, Ryan, you just said they run Canada too much. That's not it. That's not what I'm talking about international. Canada gets pro wrestling from American companies a lot. I'm talking actually across the pond. Okay, go ahead, Justin.
I honestly don't have all that much to add. I think you guys summed it up really well.
All right. So let's jump back to Raw. Let's talk about the segment that everybody's talking about. Drew also talking about. Drew, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. You know, the second time Punk now has come out in Chicago, but this time announced ahead of time after Survivor Series appearance that shocked everyone last fall.
Is Punk vegan? Is he on a mainly soy-based diet?
At times he was. I don't know if he is now.
Huh. Interesting. Sorry to interrupt. No, continue.
So that segment though was so good because it was like off the cuff. Now we know that they went out there with like a general outline of what they were going to say. It was not entirely scripted. So they let them kind of shoot the shit. And that's good. We bitch about overly scripted pro wrestling all the time. Now, obviously, we have seen with Punk, he has a track record. This can lead to some dark places if people aren't professional all around with this. And I would imagine in the WWE, you would hope that things would stay pretty straight-laced. And, you know, you wouldn't have a situation like we had in AEW where things were said on the microphone and Punk got pissed and other people got pissed and it spiraled out of control. I hope WWE would have enough, you know, safeguards in place to prevent that from happening. That being said, Justin, you said you're going to watch this a second time. I was going to watch it a second time. I didn't have time, but I did watch it live. I got the gist. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It was really good. I kind of got the gist that Punk was paranoid during it, that Rollins was going to get cheered over him. Now, obviously, Drew's a heel, but when Rollins came out, I thought like he really made a point to get the crowd to cheer him. And I don't know if he was having flashbacks All Out when MJF came out and the crowd cheered him instead of Punk. And then that led to, you know, him eating muffins and going after the Bucks and being pissed after the show. Did you guys get that feeling watching it? Because I got the feeling he was going for like the cheapest pops possible. He tried to end the segment, play my music, all of that. He wanted to get the last word. Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, the second time I watched it, he didn't look quite as rattled as I initially thought the first time I watched it. There are certainly moments, and there is also a moment later on that I'll pinpoint in a minute, but Punk's entire promo kind of reeked of desperation or insecurity. He comes right out and, you know, he wants to talk about all the people that are talking about him. You know, he talks about those who aren't talking about him, and he brings up The Rock and he says his famous line, you know, that his arms are too short to box with God. Can you guys tell me, they had two matches. Who won both those matches?
This is easy because The Rock ended a 434-day run with a fucking people's elbow. Sorry for the curse.
People
word.
Were real pissed about that back then.
And beat him the following pay-per-view as well. So that was weird. But then you had Drew come out. And I'm sorry, Drew murdered him on the mic. That line about, you know, Punk is straight edge. He doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. But why is he spending all of his time in rehab? God damn if that isn't like the best line I've ever heard. That was
easily the best line. The best line of the segment. No question.
And Drew keeps going. And then the first moment that I think Punk is rattled, he gets on the mic and kind of almost quite like, boo this man. Tell him who you paid to see.
Yes.
To almost absolute no reaction from the crowd. They were not interested. Yeah. They wanted to hear what Drew had to say, you know? And then out of that desperation, Punk goes to who chose you? Tell me his name. Because he fucking knows that Drew can't say that fucking garbage human being's name. Mm-hmm. You know, that was weird. That seemed desperate. And then immediately after that, because that fell flat, he goes back to pandering to the crowd, trying to get him to chant his name again. So, and kudos to Drew, who two or three times during this entire segment, you know, he was definitely having his fun with Punk, but he kept refocusing the conversation to his world title match about how that's what he wants. That's what he's focused on. You know, he's wants to win the title in a stadium in front of fans. Seth comes out, and to your point, Ryan, everybody was singing his song. Not a shock there. WWE crowd loves singing along with everybody's theme song. But then he does the, you know, this is my show. This is Monday night. Holds up the mic. Everybody yells Rollins. So once again, Punk's having those flashbacks to MJF. Another weird thing, you know, you're trying to sell a match. They're trying to sell Seth and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. And you had that brief moment where Seth goes, you want to know what I think, Punk? And Punk goes, no. What the fuck are you doing? Is that selling the match? You don't want to hear what this guy has to say? I mean, that's the equivalent to me of just like talking about how garbage your opponent is. It's like, well, if your opponent's garbage, why should I tune in and watch it? You know, it was kind of one of those situations. But the moment I think truly rattled Punk, because it was true, was when Seth said, you need me to have a moment at WrestleMania. You could watch it again. You could kind of see it in Punk's eyes. Like, oh, fuck, he's right. But and then finally, Punk walks out, his music's playing, and to bring it back home again, this is not about Punk. This is about that stupid mid-card world championship. Drew says, nope, he doesn't get the last word. You know, me and Seth are going to continue this. I thought that was chef's kiss perfect. Sorry for rambling, guys.
That was rambling.
Great. You hit everything. I mean, that was really good. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that your second viewing, like, really, really set that in, because that's what I thought live. But I only saw it once. I'm like, was I imagining that? I need to go back and watch it. But it seemed like he was rattled the whole time. And to me, I know they're not going to do it right now because he's just come back again and stuff, and he's not even in the ring yet. But like, it just reiterates to me, for Punk to be compelling to me, he has to be a heel. This CM Punk does not interest me at all. It doesn't even get me to tune in. It doesn't. I watch this because Drew McIntyre is in it, to be honest with you. I can't even fake any interest in Punk right now. I'm just not interested for all the reasons we've talked about on the show before. Him being back in WWE is just so phony. It's so phony. And then him pandering to the crowd like that is lame as hell. I need this guy getting pissed as a heel, because then he can really lean into that, and then he can attack the crowd too. Now that will make me interested, I think. Go ahead, Jesse.
Adam bringing the heat in the comments. I'm enjoying all of this evening. So Drew stonewalling a vegan.
Sure seems like it.
Interesting there. Back to the as soon as Punk dropped the mic and walked out of the ring, this is one of my favorite parts as well. Drew McIntyre just goes into, oh, Phil being my biggest fan, this is Stan.
Yeah, that was good.
I popped for that too. I mean, Phil is doing his best to try to do what Dwayne has successfully done, and that's take the focus off of a huge championship match at WrestleMania. And one more time, I mean, give me the obvious answer. Where was the Monday Night Raw show from?
Chicago. The Allstate Arena in Rosemont. I mean, Chicago. Yeah.
The only place where Phil Brooks is going to get a massive pop. We've noticed over the last few months that every other place that he's gone, it's been pedestrian to slightly above average. So I don't think that the Phil Brooks circus is going to really get a rise unless he's in his hometown. And that's really going to ruffle his feathers moving forward. I think Justin summed everything up great.
I mean, we've talked about this show has not been the biggest fans of Seth Rollins in many years. At one time we were, but we've talked about like he's had some kind of go away heat with us and we don't like the character and in all of that. That being, and of course, for two of the three of us being from Iowa, that's saying something since we haven't had that many famous wrestlers from our home state, pro wrestlers, I should say. Plenty of amateur wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Although, shout out Thunderbolt Patterson from right here in Waterloo, Iowa, going in the WWE Hall of Fame. That's used to work at John Deere, in fact. So for us, you know, to say that about Seth, that says something. That being said, Seth came off way more cool than Punk in the segment. He was totally at ease. He came across like the man. That's how I felt coming out of it. It was super entertaining. Again, don't get me wrong, but just kind of like looking for things, I felt like, all right, Drew was fantastic. Seth has this awkward dynamic, you know, with Punk getting cheers in his hometown, yet he comes across great. And Punk comes across to me like he was really wanting those cheers real bad. And there was some insecurity going on. That's how I felt about it. So I'm glad you guys felt the same way. And I wasn't crazy.
And just for the record, like, I don't even think that sense of desperation from Punk didn't, to me, make him bad in the segment. It just was kind of obvious. He still had some good moments, you know, when Seth was saying he can't be ref, he injured his counting arm and he dropped down and, you know, did the three count with the other arm. And then Drew stole that moment by, you could quietly hear him in the background, Drew McIntyre, your new champion, you know, God, it was so good. The entire segment was fantastic. And talking about Seth and how obnoxious he's been and how cool and calm and collected he was here, his outfit for him was a little bit toned down. You know, it wasn't all these flamboyant colors and weird stuff. It still was odd, but it was at least it made him look at least a smidge more badass than what he normally looks like.
Oh, he's a little over the top. And Ryan, you should appreciate Seth Rollins just a little bit because he hates football every time the Bears lose.
He's going to be liking football for the next few years, at least, I think, coming up here.
Unless he's upset about the Bears trading Fields.
He might be one of those guys. We'll see. You know what else was awkward about all this? So, Justin, you mentioned, you know, the fake mid-card world title on Seth Rollins. It's something that we have lambasted on the show over and over. So, Raw is the show where Seth is the world champion, right? Like, that's the whole reason they made that belt, so that they have the world champion. So wasn't it a little awkward, though, then in the opening segment on Raw, where Cody was talking about how, like, he plays the part of champion every week because the real champ's not around. So, like, the real champ's Roman Reigns, right? Not that other champion, the fake world title. Like, it just undermined the fact that Seth has the world heavyweight championship when right there at the top of the show, you know, Cody's telling you who the real champion is. You know, like, should you save that for SmackDown? I don't know. Yeah. That's just me nitpicking, but like, I'm watching it live thinking about Seth Rollins is backstage. I guess, you know, again, it's basically like the IC title used to be.
You've also got Rock and Roman coming back on next week to Raw. So, Roman, when is the last time Roman was on Raw?
Man, I don't even know. It's been a while. Feels like it's been a while, at least.
That's going to hammer your point home even more.
Yeah. Here's the real champ. The real champ is here. So anything else from Raw you guys want to hit before we flip to Dynamite?
That's good. Anything I needed to.
It's one of the better WWE discussions we had in a while. But we're tuned in. It's WrestleMania season. Yeah. Positive overall.
For sure. You
know, picking apart Punk a little bit, but I think it was warranted. let's go to Dynamite. All right, we mentioned it earlier. Their TV has been very good lately. They're building up a great show for St. Louis. You know, we know now that it is going to be Swerve challenging Samoa Joe for the world title. Could be the night that Swerve becomes world champion. We got this all-time match with Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson announced as well. And the rest of the card is filling out. And, God, another great show, Jesse, last night on TBS. What'd you think?
I enjoyed what I saw. I put my son to bed during the opening match, so I've only caught 2/3 of it. Heaven forbid I miss a full Will Ospreay match and can't give you full commentary on it, unfortunately. So, but from what I saw from the 2/3 of that match, it looked pretty close to carbon copy of what I saw with him and Shibata back in 2017. And what the huge difference that I saw was Ospreay is like 50 pounds larger. Oh, he's a main eventer, yeah. No question. He's a stud.
That was great that they could show the callbacks to that match and show some of the footage too.
Yes,
love that.
Great call.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool. Go back to New Japan World if you have not seen that match from 2/11 of 2017. If not, just DM me. I can hook you up with that match as well. So the rest of it, I enjoyed it. Again, we talked about we're Julia Hart fans on this show. I've really liked how she's still involved, and she's going to be wrestling Willow Nightingale, another person that I am a fan of as well. So that I think that's going to be a really fun undercard match. And I'm not going to let you guys go on here a little further about Swerve and Samoa Joe, because you're going to be in attendance. But obviously, I'm very excited. I'll be watching from my couch and bated breath, very nervous, and hoping that Mr. Stefan Strickland takes it home and becomes the first African American AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm. But that's going to take you one step closer to having to buy a ticket to Wembley Stadium. So
I might need a GoFundMe this rate.
We need more patrons, you guys.
we really do. And on top of that, no, I've actually been paying off a credit card, and I've got a lot of points on it. So. Oh baby. Yeah. If I see it in June and it happens, and I also got a DM from somebody who says that they're going and they're willing to split expenses.
Mm.
Game on.
Nice.
I mean, this is the first, you know, incarnation of this dynasty pay-per-view ever. If they want to put it on the map, how do you do that? Have a world title change. Just like at the last first time ever pay-per-view where Samoa Joe won the world title. I still have my reservations about, you know, a kind of a shorter length world title run for Swerve. I mean, that's better than no world title run, but I mean, boy, him winning it there would be something special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've seen this tag tournament. Continuing, does a finals, if it ends up being Bucks and FTR, are you guys down on that? You know, since we've seen it so many times now, like Justin, how would you feel if that's a match we get?
I mean, I would probably love it. I love FTR. Considering the alternatives, I mean, Starks and Big Bill wouldn't be bad, but I don't know if the dynamics are quite right there, because I think we are getting Young Bucks in those finals for sure. So. I mean, if it's Bucks in FTR, you know you're going to get a great match.
Yeah.
You're getting Lakers Celtics. Yeah. That's exactly the way that I feel with the Young Bucks playing the Lakers and FTR playing the Celtics. And that's my all-time favorite sports rivalry, period. So they're going to put on a classic for you guys. Look at you guys and how spoiled you are going to St. Louis, Missouri.
Justin,
I love my son so much. I love my son so much. I have to stay here.
Yeah.
Jesse, did you listen to Dax's podcast at all?
Yes.
Did you hear when he was talking about FTR's and Bucks' first match together, how he bought presents for everybody, and they were sneakers that he specially had designed that were FTR had Celtic colors and the Bucks had Lakers colors.
Mm.
See what I'm saying? They both of those teams play a lot of the history card, and that's what I truly appreciate both teams for, the different styles that they bring as well to the table.
Yeah. I was just curious what you guys thought, because I saw some complaining about that online. But I mean, selfishly, I feel different since I'm going to be there and I'd love to see him wrestle in person. So, you know, it's a little bit different.
Well, so what are the alternatives that you could possibly like to see?
Nothing. Nothing really. I mean, yeah. It seems inevitable when you look at the bracket. I think that's why people are complaining. But
the only other team. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I've seen some complaining, too, about the Bucks, and some people think their character's not working. Are they out to lunch? Because I think the character's phenomenal. I think the character pivot has worked great. You know, I love the new entrance. I love the promos they do with Renee. I think it's very entertaining. I think it's a breath of fresh air, personally.
Yeah, them coming out in the middle stage like Cody used to is a great callback.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go watch Succession now because I have not touched it.
Dude, it's so good. So good.
Yeah.
If you watch the show,
you'll instantly be like, oh yeah, that entrance is like exactly like the intro on the show. Now I get it. Yeah.
So. They know how to reinvent their own wheel and keep themselves fresh and entertaining. And they're still in their early to mid 30s. I'm talking about Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. So they still have a fair amount of miles left on the tires. And of course, they started the promotion themselves. So they're going to have a lot of fan backing.
Yeah. I will say one criticism, though. Do you have something on that, Justin?
Nope. Go ahead. Okay. I was going to say turn it around to something else.
One criticism I've seen is Mercedes and how she came across on Wednesday. And that I do agree with. Yes. She was not particularly good on commentary. And boy, she already is starting to feel like she's losing steam. I mean, last week I talked about the theme is trash. I'm sorry. It's trash. It's not a big time theme song. You need something with a little more oomph than that. But she was not great on commentary. And I said last week, I was a little worried maybe about, I think I said this, about, you know, the story she's getting involved in here. But then we talked about, you know, I mean, she doesn't really fit into the Toni Storm thing. So I guess it's logical. She's got the background with Willow. So we talked about it last week. Is this a problem? You know, where she is on the card right out of the gate and not being pushed maybe with the bigger stars in the company and kind of messing around with, I wouldn't say mid card because, you know, Julia's great and she's a TBS champion, but I don't know, the rest of the girls out there, we like Willow, but she's not in that upper echelon of the AEW female locker room quite yet. Are you guys worried at all?
First off, I mean, as talented and beloved as Mercedes Moné is, I mean, can we all agree? I don't think she's ever been recognized as a great talker. So having her on commentary, I mean, I don't know what we could have possibly expected there. And honestly, I think they could be, you know, they hinted about going back to Willow because obviously she was the one that caused the injury. I think they could be wading into some dangerous waters there because Willow is really beloved. You know, and yes, if the long-term goal is to get Mercedes to a heel where I think she flourishes, kind of like Punk, much better as a heel than she is a babyface, then that might be a good thing. But if they want her to be a babyface for a while, I think going back to Willow this soon could be a mistake because, you know, you're right, Ryan, that Willow does not feel like a main eventer yet, but she is beloved by that crowd.
Hypothetical question. I'm sure this is going to be a slam dunk. Yes. Within the next, we'll say 5 years, do we see Julia Hart as an AEW Women's World Champion?
Julia Hart?
It'd be a while.
I don't think so.
I said within 5 years.
Oh,
within
5 years.
5 years?
I heard months. I don't know what the bourbon's hit me. What can I say?
And apparently the Cubs just lost.
They did. They lost in the bottom of the 10th. Yeah, when it went into extra. Look, it's the World Series champions. It's fine. It was a good game. I was trying to keep an eye on it. But yeah, 5 years. I think so. I could see it in 5 years. I think there's a ton of upside with her. I mean, she's one of the great success stories of building up somebody who, you know, came in with no experience, really. And she's one of the most over women on the roster. I mean, people still love the entrance. She's got a great character.
Extremely young. Go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say, and she's obviously putting in the work considering where she is now in the ring to, you know, where she was when, you know, we first started seeing her wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think my point here is as soon as Willow and Mercedes move on and I think we're going to ultimately see Mercedes and Julia as well. No, I truly believe that Julia is going to get elevated into the super upper echelon here within the coming months. She's not going to hit the world title scene within the next year, but I mean, writing's on the wall that if she keeps this progression, she's probably going to be the number one woman in the promotion, I would say, within by 2026 or seven.
I could see it. Justin was giving the thumbs down to the chat, I believe. Which was
look at all these chats, Mike.
Not you, Justin. I wasn't giving you.
I'm telling you, man. Every week we'll be like an hour into the stream, and then the live numbers start popping. Or like just as we're getting close to the end of the stream.
Probably been drinking as much as we have on this pod tonight. My goodness! And by the way, Color TV, good call. This is a tremendous brew.
Pretty soon you're gonna be shipping that up to you. Keep a steady supply.
Before we wrap up here, guys, can I circle back to Swerve again real quick? Yes. Jesse, did you watch the main event?
I did.
How'd you like it? The match.
I enjoyed it. It was slow in the very, very beginning. Yeah. Swerve sold for 2/3 of it. My ultimate move that I love the most, bar none, was Swerve all of a sudden out of nowhere hitting a stomp where he just looked like he jumped like 7 to 8 feet
yes.
in the air. Just collapsed on Takeshita and the match ended. So, yeah, I think the build was a little slower than what we saw from Ospreay and Takeshita. However, I think ultimately it became it was a tremendous match.
Yeah, I loved it as well. It's a notch below the Ospreay-Takeshita match. But I got to get a little nerdy here for a second. And I don't know if it's just something that maybe I've missed all along. Or because to me, I think Swerve is finally putting something together that before I always thought was cool, but always a little bit of a distraction sometimes. Is the way he moves in the ring, his transitions, where it's not even so much that he moves as much as he flows. You know, he has such a unique way of getting around the ring and transitioning from move to move. I feel like before he would just kind of do it 3 or 4 times in a match, where I'm watching that Takeshita match and it seemed like it was the entire match. He had that flow down that is completely unique to him. And I was just kind of in awe of it because like I said, a lot of times I find it distracting when he just kind of breaks it out of nowhere. I mean, to me, it was just one more piece of evidence that this character, you know, this in-ring work is just all coming together, you know, at the perfect time right now.
He glides in that
ring.
Mm-hmm. So we're all on the page that he needs to win the world title then, as much as we like Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I think so.
Top Swerve Nation t-shirts coming your way at the end of April and early May. Look for it on PWTs.com or something along those lines /Top Rope Nation.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Do you think a short-term title reign, if he were to win it at Dynasty and then lose it at All In, what is your guys' opinion of that? Is that better than maybe this momentum?
Ryan, go.
I was losing Justin there a little bit. Was it cutting out for you?
It was, yeah. But I did get the entire gist of the question, though. Yeah. Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's I'd rather him get the belt and have it on his resume right now, because the alternative is he loses steam and it's like, shit, we should have done it. You know, I think we all originally we said on the pod, we thought like Revolution, that's Swerve's time. And then we pushed it back because we were like, man, this Joe, he's better, even better than we thought. We knew Joe was great, but like we liked him as the world champion. We wanted him to continue. But even if you do Swerve and Ospreay and you want to put the belt on Ospreay and, you know, 4 months later, I think it's fine. We're not talking about like a 2-week title run. He would still have the successful defense at Double or Nothing, you know, probably do something at Forbidden Door too, retain the title there. See, you're talking 2 pay-per-view title defenses. Having him hold the title pretty much the whole summer, I think it's still a major positive to put that on his resume and just to elevate him firmly into the main event scene.
The summer. Ooh,
get us a summer of Swerve. I beat you to it.
Yes. No, it's exactly where I was going. And he can easily be a two-time champion. He's just that good. Yeah. I look at the Swerves and the Ospreys. I think you can throw Hangman in that mix, maybe like a titch below. But you gotta look what's incoming too. I did say that Swerve could be a double time champion, but you got Okada on the horizon. Are they going to give that? I mean, look at him already. I mean, are they going to give him a world title shot or like a world title run at some point? I would like to think they're going to.
Guy justifies money, man. You would think so. Yeah. I mean, it is. They got, again, we talked about WWE's roster. They got a hell of a roster too, which could be getting even better. I mean, there's names out there to be becoming free agents. And even if they don't have any intention of going there, they're definitely going to act like they want to go there to get paid, as they should. But I mean, there's some names. Who knows? Who knows who could come to this company? So things are looking up. I think you put the title on him now, because who knows if he gets the chance again, if you don't.
How big is the pop going to be from the two of you when that happens?
So Justin's going to be a row behind me, a couple of seats down. We're definitely going to cheers. Hopefully people next to me don't get beer all over them. Yeah, I mean, it'll be big. Our kids will be very happy, who will be with us as well.
I mean, Ryan knows how I react when I get super excited at a live show. I tend to just grab people and shake them. And that tends to be Ryan. I mean, luckily my kid, you know, he's six now, and otherwise I might be dealing with a shaken baby lawsuit. So I think I'm good there.
Shit got dark.
Yeah, that'd be incredible, man. Just incredible. And, you know, going back to why they didn't put it on him at Revolution as well, the focus was going to be Sting, you know, here on this show. Even though we're getting a dream match with Danielson and Ospreay, Swerve can be the focus.
Mm-hmm. Pray maybe, don't wake my kid when it happens.
Do you end the show with, you know, a Swerve MJF stare down? I don't think so, but that's an idea.
Is this time for our first six to midnight quote of the night? Yeah, that would be phenomenal.
I've seen some of their indie interactions. Mm-hmm. That is is the double or nothing? Is that too short of a build, a month?
Yeah, I think you just tease it, but I don't know where else you go. I don't think you want to go back to Hangman this soon.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm excited for the TV. This might be after one of those things where, you know, remember when I played the clip of me seeing Okada for the first time with Tim
at
Dynamite, and Tim was filming that? I'm going to have to film our reactions, Justin, and put it on the show when we do our recap of Dynasty. Zooming in on you down the row, and yeah, it's going to be fun, man. Can't wait. So, anything else you guys want to hit before we wrap?
I think I'm good. I'm all set.
Hit the big stuff.
Yeah, good show. Man, this hour just flies by every week. I got two great co-hosts, man. You guys make it easy.
Aww.
Easy.
Got a great leader driving the ship.
That. I do my
damn
best.
Damn right.
Great fans, too. Let me just say,
yeah,
this Top Rope Nation Facebook group, the Jenkinson brothers.
Hell yes.
Talk about great human beings.
Thank you.
They're going to be at WrestleMania. And the offers, you know, to hang out with people in our group needed a place to crash. What a great group we have of wrestling fans. If you are not part of this Facebook group, if you're not on Facebook, just register an account to get in our group, because there's some of the best fans in pro wrestling talking wrestling every week. And I told Frank this on the Torch show the other night. One of my favorite things about the pod is just the friendships that have been formed with our podcast being like the gateway to all these people meeting. That blows my mind. Like, that's something I could have never envisioned when I started the show almost 8 years ago now, which is wild to say, that like there would be people all over this country, all over the world, that would meet through us doing this show and forge these great friendships and stuff. And we got like this whole network of wrestling fans, and it's awesome. That is my favorite part.
Agreed.
about doing this show. And when I saw that post today again, where they were offering, you know, the hospitality to people coming to Philly, I wish I was going to Philly. I'd love to hang out with them. But we did see them in Vegas a couple of years ago, and great guys. And hopefully we can do that down the line. But I just wanted to shout that out, because we have such a great group of people in the Top Rope Nation. And I appreciate each and every one of you a lot for making this possible and for, you know, making everyone included and to reaching out to people like that and forming these friendships. So
yeah, such a heartwarming offer and a display of how good of guys they are that I made a point not to say one negative thing about Chris Jericho on this episode.
Yes. Phenomenal.
The WrestleMania 18 main event is underrated.
Oh, we're gonna be talking about it. That's a take. Okay.
Tuesday night. Top Rope Nation Classics. That's probably gonna be a 2.5 hour show.
Probably.
You guys can join us live. It's on the Patreon feed. 50 some editions of Top Rope Nation Classics now available in the archives. Top Rope Nation Extra, TRN Unplugged, closing in on 150 bonus podcasts with classics. We do stream it live for the patrons, and then we put out the podcast version with bonus audio from the event kind of mixed in a couple of days later. And you can also view those shows if you become a YouTube member. So if Patreon's not your thing, we have TRN Plus on the YouTube channel, where you can watch all of those exclusive Patreon video feeds right there on your YouTube app. If you sign up, become a member on the channel, you can find that link here in the broadcast description as well. Like Jesse's TRN Unplugged the other day, that's up right now on our YouTube channel with the TRN Plus accounts. $4.99 a month if you want the video versions of all the Patreon shows. You can check that out as well.
I'll be quick. Episode 150 is coming here early May, I would imagine. And I threw the soft invite, but here comes the invite, gentlemen. Episode 150, the three of us need to get together on this for at least 35 to 40 minutes.
You know, on the show, it did not sound like a soft invite. It sounded like you guys are fucking doing this show.
Pretty
this
much.
This is 150.
Pretty
You're
going
to do it whether you want to or not, like that boy said at SummerSlam 92. Or no, that was a girl, wasn't it? I don't remember anymore, but you know what I'm talking about.
Pretty
the kid
much.
At the beginning of SummerSlam 92. Bulldog's going to win it whether he wants to or not.
Yeah, and nobody on that show is going to be fooked. Let me just tell you that moment. So, no, I seriously encourage everybody to sign up. Even if you don't sign up right away, do it at the end of April for May, because I do plan on something special with Ryan and Justin. I want them to tap into the Top Rope Nation history. Ryan with the origin. I want Justin to be able to kind of tell his story and how he came onto the show as well a few months after, and then just kind of wrap things together and how I became, or how I got tied into TRN, and here I am as a third co-host, so weird to say. And then two of my favorite people on the planet, Andreas Hale and Kel Dansby, will close the show. I'll figure out what the format is from there, but it's going to be a blockbuster episode. I'm super excited.
Sounds fun to me. I'm game.
Yep, same.
Absolutely. In the chat, Adam said, I wanted to mention this. I hope AEW has a pay-per-view in San Diego so we can come. I hope so too. That would be an automatic for me. San Diego is one of my top five favorite cities I've ever been to, and I would love to have an excuse to get back out there and to get these guys drinking some of that great San Diego craft beer. So that'd be phenomenal. I would love that.
Can you name a beer or two, Ryan? Can you help me out on that?
Modern Times was the brewery that I went to out there. They've got a great one that has a coffee shop in it that I went to in San Diego. Adam might know the location I'm talking about. I also went to one. It was like a pizza and beer place pretty close to the beach that was really good. There is also, what's it called? They make really good stouts. Just a little bit outside of San Diego. Let me Google this real quick. It's going to bother me.
If it's either La Jolla or Huntington Beach.
I did get up to La Jolla to look at the sea lions on the coast. That was pretty
nice.
Cool. Ballast Point is out there. I did not make it to Ballast Point.
Oh, yeah.
Alesmith is the one I'm thinking of. Alesmith is a little bit outside of San Diego. I didn't get there, but I'm definitely getting there the next time I'm out there. But yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, San Diego's like craft beer capital of the U.S. practically.
Del Mar is a sweet racetrack as well in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope so, Adam. I hope we have a reason to go out there sometime again for wrestling, because that would be a great place for a meetup. Pizza Port. Pizza Port is the place I went to. That pizza and beer. That was really cool. Yeah, in modern times, great beer. Good spot, too.
Yes.
All right. That's all I got. Episode 335 of Top Rope Nation in the can. Goes fast every week, but we'll be back Tuesday night.
Fragile ego, fragile body, weak mind, weak spirit. Cheers, boys.
See y'all next week. Have a great weekend. Take care.